have your bulletin in front of you. Take a look at that image. It's two women, children in their wombs. Today, the reading today celebrates one of the ancient feasts of the church. It's called the Visitation. It's when Mary, a young girl, suspiciously pregnant, not yet married, goes for comfort, for reassurance, to the house of her aunt, her older aunt, an aunt who herself has found herself unexpectedly pregnant. A woman well past the years of healthy childbearing. Was given a child, her first child. Such a shocking situation that when God said to her husband, Zechariah, who was busy serving his time as a clergy person in the temple, when God said, your wife will bear a son, Zechariah said, that's ridiculous. And God said, and now you will be quiet. You will not speak until your son, who I have promised you, is born. Zechariah doesn't speak for months. Can you imagine that? A leader, a clergy person, not getting to speak for months? Elizabeth is stuck with a silent husband, or maybe that's a good thing. Never know. But Elizabeth, too, is likely afraid. She is older, and we all know how dangerous childbirth is, regardless of your age. But when you are an older woman, in a world before antibiotics and before all the medical things that we seem to think are necessary, all those interventions for older women, she's afraid. She too is bearing a son promised by God out of nowhere. And so these two women, this young teenage girl and this older, wiser woman, both on the verge of something unknown and something terrifying and something new and something exciting, come together in a small village not even named in the scripture. They come together for comfort. They come together to have a conversation. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were a part of that conversation, I would just start listing all the things I'm anxious about. Oh my God, will I survive this? It's gonna hurt. I'm not sure my body can handle that. I'm too old for this. I am way too young for this. Who's gonna help me take care of this child? I'm never gonna get sleep ever again. That's what I would do. That's the conversation that I would have. These two women get together and they talk about the overthrow of the world. They come together and they talk about a world in which their sons could thrive. They talk about a world where all the injustices that make their lives fragile and dangerous are overturned. Where the poverty that they live in and that they experience every day no longer defines every waking moment of their life. It is no longer the anxiety that they have to wrestle with every day. A world where the wealthy who control it all and the poor who have nothing, where these things are overturned, where the world is set back into balance. And when they do that, they stand in a long line of women. I've pointed this out to you before, but on that icon, there are four women other than Mary. The first is Miriam. Miriam, who, in response to God's bringing her people out of slavery, sings and dances on the shore of a beach, on the shore of a sea that has just swept their enemies away. She pulls out her tambourine, you can see it in the icon, and she sings the delight and the joy of a God who brings down the powerful and raises up the slave. Esther is there, a queen in a harem, one of many wives who happens to be of a people discriminated against by the people of her husband. And through a lot of wit, a bit of trickery, and a lot of beauty, she persuades her husband to set her people free. Judith, story we don't hear very often. A battle leader, a woman who speaks to her people and lays out a battle plan and then heads out that night using not only her brain but her body. Seduces the enemy king, gets him drunk, and then cuts off his head. You can see the head in the icon, too. Not all the stories are particularly pretty. And then Hannah. Hannah, again, a woman unable to bear a child in a society where your entire value has to do with your children. Sometimes not always different than our own. She too cannot bear a child, and she is promised a child, and that child becomes the prophet who calls into leadership David. These women, they are in a line of people who understand the promises of God. They understand that the world that they live in is not the world that God has intended. I think actually what's most amazing about these women, all of them, Hannah, Miriam, Esther, Judith, Elizabeth, Mary, is that when God's promise comes to them, they believe it. They believe that in their bodies, because of their bodies, because of who God has created them to be, they can bear God in the world. That's what they're doing. Whether it is Jesus, God born into the world in body, or whether it is through the actions of someone who seeks the welfare of those around them, these women bear God into the world. Old women brushed aside as irrelevant and incapable. Isn't that what our society tells us all the time? Last week, when we spoke about our fears of the journey before us, I heard a lot about age. I heard a lot about the ways in which we feel like we're no longer worthy or relevant because our bodies are failing us, and all those things that made us competent and brilliant and awesome contributions to society are somehow gone and disappeared, and we're just too old. And yet, when God comes to old women and says, "You will bear God in the world," these women had the, I don't know, sense of self, the confidence our society sometimes calls that arrogance, to say yes, to know that their bodies can bear God. And these young women, this teenage girl who broke all the rules, there's nothing about Mary's life at this point that looks particularly virtuous to those around her. She's an unwed teenage mother. The only reason that she hasn't been cast out is because of the mercy of this old man, Joseph. She is everything that we don't want our daughters to be. And yet, she doesn't believe that lie that she is unworthy. She doesn't believe the lie that somehow, because she hasn't done it right or played the game right or followed the rules, that she is not loved and worthy of bearing God in the world. Every one of us, young, old, in between, we are bearers of God in the world. We birth God in the world, in big ways, in small ways. Every one of us needs to have the confidence of Mary, who says, generations will call me blessed. And it's true. There are just as many images of Mary in our world as there are of Jesus. Mary is the most popular girl's name anywhere Christianity has landed. Mary, Maria, Miriam, Mariah, Mauria, all of these are versions of her name. You are blessed. You are Mary's body in the world. You are bearing Jesus in the world. Don't ever let anybody tell you otherwise. Amen.